Hey, and I'm a calling. I'm a calling. I'm a calling for Ben on the telephone, and it's ringing. I hope he's actually going to do the podcast today.
Paul Goody.
Hey, Ben Lawrence, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Are we doing the podcast today?
Yes, we are. I'm all set up and ready.
Hey,
ready to go.
All right. And I think I'm actually blowing out the sound.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see how that goes.
Mine seems a bit quiet.
We did it again, Ben. We did it again.
Made it through another week.
Yes. But that's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about, Paul?
Okay, so for those of you who've listened to the podcast, I've mentioned before, we do this a lot, enough so that statistically, on average, eventually things that we talk about the podcast can start to affect real life.
Yeah.
One time we killed Jerry Lewis, possibly. I don't know the timeline for sure, but I think we did. But, Ben, we're going to start it off with a special edition of Gonna Guess the News.
Okay.
This is Ben Gonna Guess the News. Ben, there is a question that I asked on the podcast, I believe the last time we talked, and if not, then the time before, that may theoretically have been answered because of some news that came out recently, although it has not been confirmed by the individual in question at the time that we're recording, which is Sunday, March 7th.
Right.
Do you know what that question was and how it has possibly been answered?
This is in relation to a large news story?
A large-ish news story.
Large-ish. Does it concern politics?
It does concern politics.
Okay. Is it in regards to the stimulus bill that was recently passed?
No, it is not in regards to the stimulus bill that was recently passed.
Is it in regards to the Potato Head controversy?
No, it is not in regards to the Potato Head controversy.
Am I circling it or am I way off?
Well, here's the thing, Ben. In a way, everything is related to it for the past, you know, 4 years, the national conversation has become politically charged so that everything, you know, you're either on one team or another.
Right.
That's the next hint. So here's another hint. I was comparing and contrasting the two teams when I made this statement.
The two teams, the Republicans and Democrats.
The right and the left.
The right and the left.
The parties themselves, you know.
Right. But the ideologies.
The ideologies, yes.
And is this how the ideologies have switched in the last 50 years?
No, it was not about how the ideologies have switched.
All right. As you can see, I have no idea what you're talking about.
because again, we're talking about left and right.
Yeah.
Not so much the parties themselves, but the attitudes. I had made the statement, Ben, has the right got anyone that's funny?
Ah.
That's actually funny on it.
Okay. Yeah. Conservatives be funny?
Now, this is going to be a little tricky because there's one, no confirmation. Number two, there's timelines. People do change their ideologies over time. Do you have any inkling as to what I'm talking about?
I don't, but let me see if I can guess it.
Because I'm gonna lead you down the primrose path a little bit, Ben.
Lead me down the path.
What is... Okay, so think of me.
Yeah.
And you as well. And our sense of humor. What are things that I find funny? things and people that I find funny. Don't think in terms of who's conservative, who's not. Just think about things that I have over the years told you I find funny, TV shows, things like that.
Well, I don't know if I can adequately describe your sense of humor, but
I'm talking about naming some shows
like Mr. Show.
Ah, you got it in one, Ben. You got it in one.
Okay, so this has something to do with Mr. Show.
Yes. Now, this might be a little harder. We have talked about this in the past, but I haven't made like a huge deal about it. Can you name some of my favorite Mr. Show sketches?
What's the proper title of that? The Colin Show.
That one. Yeah. But that is not the one I'm talking about.
That one.
Do you want a hint?
Yeah, give me. Let me try one more guess. Is it the Guitar God?
No, sketch? It is not the Guitar God.
All right, give me a hint.
Okay. Oftentimes, when speaking about comedy, one of the things I lament, and one of the reasons I really liked some of the stuff that Josh Fadem had been doing, not related to this Mr. Show thing. I'm just name checking Josh Fadem. I mentioned that physical comedy has really taken a back seat. Like, there isn't a lot of physical comedy going on, and I think there could be a physical comedy renaissance.
The Tale of Everest.
Yes. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in my entire life. And Ben, that sketch would be nothing if not, of course, the reactions of Bob Odenkirk.
Right.
To what is happening.
Right.
We cannot downplay that enough. But who is instrumental to Everest? The story of Everest.
Well, what's his name? Jake Johnston?
Jay Johnston. The guy who's telling the story and who does
he crashes
an incredible
into the wall.
Amount of physical comedy. So recently, something has happened. Can you guess what it is? And it involves Jay Johnston. Oh, speaking about that, do you know anything that Jay Johnston has done recently?
No. I know that he had a small recurring role on Arrested Development as a cop.
Okay.
But that's the only thing I can think of that I remember him seeing him in. But he was in something recently that is mildly connected to political ideologies?
No. That is not what this story is about.
Okay.
I need to explain something because it's going to, I'm going to, now that we've kind of gotten to it, I'm going to tell the story of how I found out about this.
All right.
That I'm going to
tell
us.
We're already 13 or 8 minutes in, you know, we don't want to make the whole show about you.
Yeah. What else are we going to do? Talk about something else? I mean, come on. So there is a guy named Anthony DeVito that I follow on Twitter, who's a funny actor, comedian. And one of the things that Anthony DeVito is very vocal about is the fact that too often there are people who play Italians on TV that are not Italian.
Right.
And how it's one of the last things that is sort of, for whatever reason, socially acceptable.
Right.
Having someone who is not Italian play a really broad Italian character. And so he was complaining today, and I use the word complaining, and I don't mean to diminish the fact that what he's saying is correct. But he was talking about how someone had posted this thing that said, you know, I think Jay Johnson got too much into the... I don't have the exact quote, but it's something like, he got too much into character while playing this Italian character on Bob's Burgers. And that's probably what happened. That's all it said.
Is
right?
Jay Johnson plays... I've never seen Bob's Burgers, so is it just a broad Italian caricature?
Right. See, I don't either, and I don't know how broad it is or anything like that. But it came to me through that feed. Now, what's interesting about that statement, Ben? What's the strange thing about... of course, you know, Anthony DeVito is highlighting it because someone's making a joke at the expense of someone being too much in the Italian mindset.
Yeah.
What's missing, though, is the context. What are they talking about? I asked myself. What is it about Jay Johnston getting too much into the Italian mindset? What does that even mean? Right? So I looked deeper into what the guy who made the joke was making the joke about. Turns out the FBI is looking for a man because of his participation in the Capitol Hill riots.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of him. And in that picture, a lot of people are saying, oh, that's Jay Johnston.
What?
Yeah.
Jay Johnston was at the Capitol insurrection?
Okay. Now you are having the exact same reaction I was having when I first saw this. Because it doesn't make a lot of sense, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking into it, and apparently people that know him have said that it is him. And someone said, I can't say if it's him or not, but if it's not him, he has said that he was there.
Now, here's a follow-up question to that.
Yeah.
Was he part of the group that infiltrated the Capitol building?
Okay, so this is where it gets a little tricky. The FBI is looking for him. The FBI actually tweeted out his photo.
No kidding.
Right? So you would think probably. But here's the thing. The FBI does not say his name. And the photo could be someone else who just looks a lot like him. The things that we have that people say... Okay, there are a couple things. Number one, Jay Johnson never has said that it wasn't him. He hasn't said anything, right? So that doesn't really count. But a lot of people are like, it's weird that at least his publicist hasn't said, because it's been like 2 days.
You'd think if he wasn't there, they would get right on top of that to clear his name.
Right. And then also you've got Tim Heidecker, who in a tweet thread about it said that it was him. And then he deleted it, saying that he shouldn't be a source for information on this. And a couple of other people who know him, like
saying
that.
Okay, so I looked it up.
Yeah.
I'm looking at
Ben,
the FBI.
Ben, you looked it up? Yeah, we had to. Yeah. Right?
I had to.
In this case.
And if it's not him, it's somebody who looks a lot like him.
Yeah. In this case, it's kind of weird. But I saw probably the best joke that I've seen about it, because people have been making jokes, which is a little, right?
Right.
But the one joke was, I think if the FBI had relaxed its policy on marijuana use, they could have identified him a lot sooner. Which I thought was funny.
Somebody had replied to the FBI picture of him with a GIF of Jay Johnston from Mr. Show.
Man.
And a picture of his character from Arrested Development. Oh, a lot of. Yeah, everybody knows who that is. That's upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thing is, all right. So there are two possibilities. Neither of them are good. Possibility number one, it was him. And he was okay. There are more than two possibilities, but broad possibilities. One, he was there, right? That's number one. Not great. Number two, it's not him. And for some reason, all of his comedy friends think it would be funny to say that maybe it is him.
Oh, man. That would be, like, if they're joking about that, that's a terrible joke.
Right, exactly. I don't think it is. And the other reason why people are thinking that probably it is him, people who are pretty vocal on Twitter about political things, like Paul F. Tompkins, for example, aren't saying anything.
Right. Because they probably know that he could be capable of doing something like that.
Yeah.
Well, see, that now here's the thing. Then you know, we have to ask ourselves: can we still enjoy his comedy if he, you know, did something like that? I'm not saying he beat a cop to death, but still, like, taking part in this thing.
We'll go back to talking about Bill Cosby, which we talked about earlier, as well. Right? One of the things that's disturbing about watching Bill Cosby at the time that he's allegedly doing those things, you know, lining up his career. And so when you're watching him being funny at that time, he was also doing these other things.
Right.
Right? Makes it difficult. Makes it hard. In fact, there's a thing that I remember, and I can't find it right now, but I remember my dad has an album. My dad has an actual vinyl record of Bill Cosby's, and there's a section called Spanish Fly on it.
Okay.
There's a bit he does called Spanish Fly, which is talking about something that you give a woman that makes her want to have sex.
I've heard of that.
I remember this specifically, like his bit on it, because I was asking them a lot of questions. My parents, what is this, you know, and they're like, you know what, let's not talk about this. And we don't want you to listen to that part of it anymore. So I remember it. I can't find it anymore. He maybe, you know, like he had a pretty long reach. Didn't he keep something from happening at one point in time? Like he bought all the copies of a thing. Or he.
I don't. It's possible.
Weird that somebody maybe can correct us on this, but I think it's. I want to say that, like, maybe it's like the Little Rascals or something. Like, he bought a whole bunch of copies, or he bought the rights for something so that it couldn't be distributed. The only reason I'm mentioning it is that it's possible that that bit got shut down. You know, that he removed.
Yeah, but you can't. Recall vinyl albums. So that bit is still out there, and I bet you anything, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting thing. But the point being, Jay Johnston, right? At the time he was doing Mr. Show, you know, what were his political beliefs? He hadn't stormed the Capitol yet.
You're right.
So can you like something, you know, when you were friends with somebody and maybe you have a falling out, does that mean that the good times you shared before that don't exist? You know, it's weird, right?
But the thing is, I can no longer watch Mr. Show without now thinking of this.
Yeah, which is too bad. But who knows?
Because I'm fine with people having conservative viewpoints or even like voting Republican before 4 years ago. But this, you know, this mindset of the, you know, the cult of Trump has really sort of like shifted the us versus them mentality into overdrive on both sides.
The other thing, the thing that's interesting, in my opinion, is that I honestly think, because of conversations I've had with folks and things like that, Trump is an aspect of it, not the driving factor.
Right.
He's
a symptom.
Our friends on the left, right? The people who say, oh, you know, the cult of Bernie Sanders. And most of the folks would say, at least the folks that I know and I talk to, would say that Bernie Sanders isn't it. I mean, the reason people are so hype on Bernie Sanders is because he is the closest thing that they have to what they want.
Yeah.
And if somebody else were to show up closer to their ideology, they would drop him in a second. It's just that he's the biggest. And not that they don't not like him, but, you know, like, for instance, gun control, right? Bernie Sanders, you know, somewhat famously, I think, was less on the side of gun control than a lot of the other people running. It was something that people, if you'll forgive the obvious pun, kind of used as ammunition against him when they were talking about stuff. So I don't think necessarily, you know, this is the big thing. After voting Donald Trump out, it's not like it's going to go away. Exactly.
Yeah.
And on this podcast at one point in time, Ben and I talked about this, that there is a chance that we will see at some point in time a combination of far left and far right people somehow agreeing to work together. Because I think about this, right? If Black Lives Matter weren't villainized by the far right folks, and if Antifa weren't villainized by the far right folks, and just the fact that Antifa isn't even an organization, it's a mindset, and
right
now it's probably an organization. You know, eventually you make a thing so that people get there. At one point in time, I remember this distinctly. Stephen McCandless, me, and somebody else, I don't think it was you. It might have been you, but I don't think so. We were walking through Pioneer Square, and this guy walked up to us and said, hey, do you know where I can join an eco-terrorist organization?
If I was and there, we're I don't like, remember that.
We were like, nope. Good luck.
This is
a very odd way to go about it, though. I think that was Stephen. Stephen said, if I could give you some advice, don't do this.
Yeah.
Or something to that effect.
Sounds like quality advice that Stephen would give out. I can see what you're saying. I can see some time in the future, the far left and far right will agree to work together on something. And
because,
you know,
if somebody. You
want to joke about it being aliens or something, like some external force, but the way the different sides deal with the pandemic leads me to believe that not even an alien invasion could bring us together, Independence Day style.
Well, and this is kind of where I'm going with this. So, you know, you have the police versus protesters, right? In both cases. And we're mad at the police, you know, when people are protesting, hey, stop killing people that look like me.
Right.
And the police are like, no.
That's part of my job description.
We're kind of on the side of the protesters. When it's, hey, stop democracy from happening. And the police are like, no. We're like, hey, the police are good. But if there were a, hey, stop Joe Biden from becoming president and also stop killing people that look like me, if those two groups were somehow together, like a lot of people, I'm not saying everybody on the left, but a lot of people would be like, I don't want Joe Biden. I never wanted Joe Biden to be president. And now we've got all these other people who don't want him to be president. Like, if it were, if it weren't stop Donald Trump from not being president anymore, right? If the protest had been, and I'm just throwing this out there, Ben, I'm not advocating this. I definitely don't want to manifest it into reality.
Right.
But if the argument was overthrow the police and also overthrow the current political machinations happening in Washington, D.C., right? Get big money out of politics and also Black Lives Matter. If that had been what this was about, if it had been, if they had chosen to, you know, like frame it, not that we want Donald Trump to be president still, but if they had framed it, Joe Biden became the Democratic nominee through illicit means and he won the election under crazy circumstances. If they had shifted the narrative a little bit and not been racist, you could have had a larger group there and it might have been a little bit more crazy. So this is the thing that, that people keep talking. And, you know, the guy who cut my hair when I was living in, Mount Baker?
Yeah.
Living in the Mount Baker area?
Yeah.
He had said this to me a long time. He was cutting my hair. And he said, you know, the thing that they've done, and it's smart, is that they tell white folks like you that someday you'll get to be, you know, at their level.
Yeah.
Like, all white people can eventually get to this level. And pretty soon, some folks are going to figure out that that's never going to happen. And to keep them distracted from the fact that that's never going to happen, they're going to try to make them hate black folks more. To that, I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
His name is Abe. He has a barber shop. You can go and
Barbers.
I think it might actually be called Abe's Barbershop. But like I said, I'm paraphrasing. And Abe, if you're listening, I'm sorry if I got it wrong. But the basic idea was, you keep racial division happening among the lower middle class and poor folks so that they don't suddenly look at the scorecard and go, hey, wait a second, you know, we are more the same than we are different.
Yeah. Well, that's that typical story, right? I mean, I see this meme constantly where it's like the upper class does a great job of convincing the middle class to blame poor people for their problems.
Yeah, exactly. So once again, we've solved everything. Hooray for us. But anyway, so yeah, Jay Johnston. Crazy.
Boo,
but,
Jay. Did we meet him after that Mr. Show concert?
I don't think we did.
Was he even there? I know Paul F. Tompkins wasn't there.
Paul F. Tompkins wasn't there. We met Brian Posehn and John Ennis.
Yeah, along with Bob and David.
Both of those guys were great. Bob and David, the way that I think, if I remember correctly, the way that we met Bob and David, we met Bob and we talked to him for a little bit. And then David came out and talked directly to Bob.
Yeah. He was like heading back to the hotel or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
I remember shaking Bob's hand because I remember when, like, I was looking at him and I was like telling him, like, it was such a great show. He didn't smile at all.
Yeah.
He just stared at me. He probably said thanks or something. But yeah, I remember seeing David. I don't remember shaking his hand, though. Remember when you could shake people's hands?
I do remember
especially
that.
Especially strangers.
Yeah. Man, I still think about how cool John Ennis was giving us his email address and stuff and trying to, you know, saying, hey, you know, I'd love to, you know, if you want to send me some stuff that you're working on,
We should.
Yeah, I'll take a look at it. We never did.
We never did because we were like, why would John Ennis want to play with us? But did we keep his contact information? Do you still have that?
I don't know if I do or not. I don't think I do. I had a notebook that had all these emails and phone numbers in it, and I no longer have it.
You know what we should do? We should like find him on Twitter and just tweet at him. Hey, John, at one point back in 2003, whenever it was.
hey, Ben.
Does that offer still stand?
I have a locked account, so I can't write to him, but can you do that? You totally should. Ask him if he wants to be on the podcast. Oh, my God.
That would be great.
That would be really awesome. All right.
I'm putting that on my to-do list.
Homework for Ben. I wanted to talk about this because it's kind of funny. You know how I've been talking about Dimension 20 a lot?
Yes.
Okay. So, first thing is, I'm working like crazy right now. I have basically three jobs at work. Two of them that I'm doing well and one of them that I'm not doing well enough. And I'm trying to get that worked out.
I hope you're at least getting paid 2.5 times your salary.
You know, it's there's a difference between jobs and salary. And here's the thing. I basically work for the company, right?
Yeah.
I have jobs for the customer. And so as long as the company pays me, I do what I can to get the jobs for the customer done.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And everyone's pretty great as far as being appreciative of what I'm doing, all that sort of thing. So that's good. But I'm working a lot. Have I told you about my cleaning hobby?
Your cleaning hobby?
Probably not.
We talked yesterday about how you were cleaning.
Yeah, that's right. I talked yesterday. So we had a false start yesterday. I called Ben and started talking to him. But the podcast wasn't happening because
we were just talking on the phone.
he was just on the phone with me and we were talking like people. And I forget sometimes when I talk to Ben that I'm not being recorded, at least not for the podcast.
Hey.
But, I've basically, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but I've actually programmed myself to want to clean things. And the way I've done it is that I'm approaching it like any other hobby. I'm looking at YouTube for like tips and tricks on how to do stuff, and then I'm just doing things. So I've cleaned the living room and the kitchen and some of the basement. And the kitchen, I haven't deep cleaned it, but I've cleaned it more than I have before.
Yeah.
So when I'm cleaning, I'm listening to Dimension 20, which is a D&D podcast, and I have all the D&D books, and I'm trying to get a campaign together to do with Betty and Jennifer. It's been a little tough because, Betty, we want her focused on schoolwork, so I can't, you know, play D&D and Jennifer's at her mom's house. So that hasn't really happened so much, but I'm still reading all the rules and all that. And the guy who does Dimension 20, Brendan Lee Mulligan, has a podcast called Adventuring Academy, where he basically talks about how he DMs and the stuff that he picks, you know, like, this is how I kind of make a world happen. This is what I do for people. It's really nice. It's a cool little thing. And I'm listening to it. And in it, he mentions that Amelia Lee, wait, am I getting the right idea? Is that Amelia? Is that how you pronounce Amelia Lee? Is his mother, who did a thing called Starstruck. Are you familiar with Starstruck at all?
Are we talking about the Cher movie from the late 80s?
No. No, okay, so you're thinking of Moonstruck.
Oh, you're right, I am thinking of Moonstruck.
So, Starstruck, the reason I thought you might know it is because it's kind of a graphic novel. It was around when I was a kid, And it's sort of famous because it has how do I want to say it? It was sort of indie before
before indie was cool.
Before indie was cool, right, exactly. Sorry. Elaine Lee. Wait, did I say Elaine?
You said Amelia, but go on.
Elaine. Oh, first of all, apologies to Elaine Lee. Your name is Elaine, not Amelia. And I apologize. If Elaine Lee listens to our podcast,
Star Trek. Back on track. Starstruck.
Starstruck. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So, Starstruck, not Moonstruck. And Elaine Lee. Okay. Elaine Lee, Starstruck. It's a graphic novel. When I was a kid, I would read it in Walden Books. I would sneak into Walden Books and I would read it in the graphic novel section because I knew that my parents wouldn't let me have it. It was sort of racy, a little cool. So it turns out Brendan Lee Mulligan's mom...
Elaine Lee.
Oh, no. Elaine Lee. There we go. I almost called her Amelia Lee again. Sorry, everyone. Elaine Lee.
Turns out Elaine Lee. This.
She wrote this.
Okay.
And it was a play as well. The thing that I want to mention is that this comic had a huge sort of impact in what I thought was cool, my aesthetic, all that kind of thing. What I liked in storytelling and what I liked visually, like it was the perfect graphic novel in my head as a kid.
Coincidentally,
and now,
or serendipitously,
is sort of what I like about role playing.
Yeah,
you know, he has a really good job. He does a really good job of making it about the players and emphasizing character interaction and stuff like that. It's really good.
I'm not going to say that the same thing happened to me, but recently I learned that Andrew Bird, the musician, was in the band Squirrel Nut Zippers. And
wait, what?
That was my reaction.
I
loved the Squirrel Nut Zippers when they burst onto the scene during the swing revival of the 90s. And Andrew Bird is, you know, one of my favorite musicians. You know, I like him enough. I actually went to go see him in concert, and I got him to sign my CD. But I just, like, this last week, I learned that little fact. And I looked it up, and he's credited on those albums.
And you'll forgive me for giving a little bit of inside baseball, but the commander of the Rocketmen gave us a CD to listen to, kind of to sort of, you know, sum up kind of the feeling of the show and stuff like that. And Andrew Bird stuff was on there.
Yeah, and in fact,
and
it is a It is an Andrew Bird. It is an Andrew Bird song that plays over my death scene in Borrowing Time.
Oh, and spoilers for Borrowing Time, which is also a really good,
God,
a
it's
really
been
good
17
animated film.
Years.
So good though, Ben. So good. That's something. The other thing is that he is an actor.
Oh, that's right.
And
is
in the latest in the installments of Fargo. As the dad.
You know, it was funny. We were Blair and I were watching
the mortuary.
Blair and I were watching that, and there's a scene in the last couple episodes where so Andrew Bird is known for his whistling, right? And like he one of the integral parts of his music is his whistling. And so during a scene in season 4 of Fargo, there was some whistling underscore in one of the, you know, during a shot. And I like to think that Noah Hawley asked Andrew Bird to be in the show, and he's like, "Okay, I'll act in your show only if I can also whistle on the soundtrack."
Yeah. Or I like the other way. He asks Andrew Bird to whistle on the soundtrack. He goes, "Okay, but you got to cast me in your show, and then I'll do it." The Fargo series is good. Here's the thing. I really like Noah Hawley. What's he doing? He's there's something coming up that he's doing. Do you remember what it is?
Fargo season 5?
No, that already happened.
No. Have they announced season 5?
Hold on. I guess I'm thinking of season 4.
Season 4.
Right?
Season 4 is the Chris Rock season.
Okay, then I'm thinking season 4. Sorry. No, he's doing something else. I wish I could remember what it was. It's something cool.
Is it some sort of adaptation of something?
I think it's a TV series, I want to say.
This
is where not looking
Coen
stuff up is difficult.
Exactly. This is where he's adapting another Coen Brothers movie into a TV show.
Blood Simple,
his
the
career,
TV series.
Exactly. Miller's Crossing.
No, but he did Legion. Legion was great.
I've never seen that.
Did you see Legion?
No.
Oh, Ben, you should watch Legion. It's really
on
good.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
I think it's on Hulu, though. I don't have Hulu.
Oh, yeah. Hulu is, I think, where it's at. It's an FX show.
Yeah.
And I think that Hulu has a thing with FX.
They
do. That's too bad.
They do.
I have Hulu.
I could get Hulu. I could get Disney Plus, but I'm already up to 3 streaming services, and it's just by a matter... I can afford it. It's just a matter of principle why I'm not subscribing to those channels.
Et maintenant, nous parlons français. Bonjour, Ben!
Bonjour, Paul. Comment allez-vous?
Oh, comme ci, comme ça. Parce
bien,
que...
Bien.
Je n'aime pas... mon travail, mais je n'aime pas le travail en total. Je pense nous travaillons trop. Wait, I think we work too much. Is that right? Nous travaillons trop.
I was thinking work too hard, but it's been a long time since I've thought about French.
Je travaille mas dur. I think I might be French as well. Oui. J'oublie tout le mot et le vocabulaire parce que je ne parle pas français. Aujourd'hui. Mais maintenant, je parle français parce que j'étudie le français avec Duo. Et Duo, il est un avion. J'oublie le mot pour l'avion. Mais c'est un avion de la nuit et il mange beaucoup le lapin et il dit ouh, ouh, comme ça. cet avion est un dessin et il est vert et il dit tous les jours étudier le français ou l'espagnol et il me dit Paul, tu n'étudies pas le français, oh, Duo est triste. Oh, like that.
So are Sundays French days on Duolingo for you?
So I don't do it that way anymore. Every day is French day on Duolingo now because I've made it to the Platinum League. And the Platinum League, if you don't keep up a steady pace, you get kicked out of the Platinum League.
Ah, and yes.
French is the one that I know best. So I do Spanish when I can, and I do French all the other times because I wanna win now. I become competitive.
That's how they get you.
I don't know. I mean, the French that I did there was not great, but you understood kind of what I was saying.
A lot of it. I mean, if I didn't understand what you were saying, I would have understood it at one point.
I think, well, and that's the thing is that I really want to make sure I say this. Part of the reason why you may not have understood is because I probably wasn't speaking French correctly. I think a French person could figure it out. But... I still remember this guy who did like a little when I went to. It's funny when I think back, Ben, to when I was in Villefranche at l'Académie de Français.
Yeah.
All of the conversations take place in English in my head. And I know that they didn't. I know that there were some that were French, but I don't know which ones are which.
Hmm.
Which is a little crazy.
I heard that. Somebody who's studying a foreign language, they mentioned that you know that you've got it when you start dreaming in that language.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is that, like for me anyway, it's also like when you hear it, like you're not planning on studying it, right? You're not studying French at the time. You haven't sat down with your little thing. But you're, like, watching TV and somebody says something in French. And you're like, well, why is that guy going to the bakery? And then you're like, ooh, I figured out some French.
Yep.
On my own without studying or trying.
Without even trying, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing this guy said, he said, you can just walk up to someone and say, you, me, dinner? And they'll understand pretty much what you mean. But if you say, would you care to accompany me for dinner? Accompanying me to... That's not how he said it. Would you care to accompany me to dinner? Oh, wow. I can't even do it in English, Ben. There's a problem.
Would you care to accompany me to dinner?
But he's saying, yeah, basically that learning a language is not just about communication. It's about influence. That was his big thing, is that
wow.
Depending on how well you can speak, you can influence people because they are more likely to do what you want if you can ask them politely. Something to that effect.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool.
I dig that.
Speaking of kind of cool. Hey, Bear!
Oh, God.
I'm making food.
You're making food?
Why do you sound so surprised?
Are you gonna come down at all? No?
No.
Okay. I think that counts.
Yeah, the segment's called Yelling for Betty. It's not called Betty, you know,
yeah,
talks on the podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't say Betty's definitely gonna show up.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, by the way, I wanted to say, part of me working at cleaning stuff means that I've been going to hardware stores a lot.
Yeah.
And I... totally, this is crazy. I've crossed the Rubicon? Is that what you've crossed? You cross
yeah.
a
if you've like leveled up in a life in some sort of way.
Yeah. Why do dads want hardware stuff? I would say as a kid. You can get toys. I totally get it now. There was an inspection pen light that was there. I was like, ooh, inspection pen light. I'm gonna get it. The reason I'm going to get it is because I can shine it at stuff and I can tell if something needs to be cleaned in a certain way or not.
Yeah.
And I got a rolling cart and I'm like, ooh, I can put stuff in here. And I got a tub and I'm like, oh, I can stick stuff in the tub. It's great.
Yeah. When I lived at Mr. House and I would go to the hardware store, I constantly wanted to just start new projects.
Yeah. Yeah, but so the rule I've made myself is that when I'm doing stuff at home, right, I write down a list of things that I need in order to continue the tasks that I'm doing better. What is standing in the way of me doing this, right?
Yeah.
So like the thing I have right now, I have cord tamer. You know, one of those those things that you put on the cord that you can roll over with your chair. A desk organizer. A place to put toys. And a place to put electronic devices. Now, I wrote those down, right? I'm like, okay, if I go to the hardware store, I can get these things. But, at least for right now, I found a place to put electronic stuff. And I sort of found a place to put toys. And so the only thing I really need is the cord tamer. I was like, oh, I don't really need the cord tamer that much, I guess. So I'm not going to the hardware store. And that way I won't pick up any more stuff. At least for now.
Going back to what you're saying about your cleaning habit, as everybody who's listened to the show continuously knows, I just moved into a new apartment. And
yes.
I don't really consider myself a gross or disgusting person. I'm very clean, right? I take a shower every day. I do my laundry regularly. But I just cleaned out my apartment from 6 years of living there. And I gotta say, I was not impressed with myself.
Let me ask you a question. How often do you, like, do you have, like, a mop or a Swiffer?
Well, see, here's the thing.
Do you use it?
3/4 of my old apartment was carpet. And I vacuumed regularly. Probably not. I didn't vacuum.
When you say regularly, what does that mean to you?
Maybe once a month. But it was just me living there, you know? You know, it's not. I didn't have pets. I didn't have kids. It was just me, and but there was an obvious, like, I mean, I had a disdain for vacuuming because it took a lot of, like, there's a lot of baggage because my parents made me vacuum the house when I was a kid, and I hated doing it, and so, but I would vacuum my apartment, and I would, like, have to move furniture and crap to get it out of the way. But there's still, like, carpet gets disgusting after 6 years of continuous use.
Yep, that's absolutely true.
And there's basically nothing I can do about that, especially the area around my desk. It was just, like, you know, the carpet was a different color, you know.
Now, let me ask you a question. Are you planning on getting your security deposit back?
I am not. And I've resigned myself to the fact that because the carpet's gross and because the tub, now here, this is also not something of my doing, but when I moved in to my old apartment, the previous tenants had a bath mat in the tub, which left this residue on the bottom of the tub. And you can see it's a perfect rectangle in the middle of the tub.
Yeah.
And I could never get it clean.
Gotcha.
Could never get it clean. And so...
So the reason... Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
I was just going to say, so the reason I'm... that's what you said. I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm not going to get my deposit back is because they probably have to replace the carpeting, which they, you know, I think they do anyway when somebody moves out. And they're going to have to re-caulk the tub because there's mold underneath the caulking.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's no way to clean it without replacing it.
Yeah.
That's kind of my fault because I didn't clean the tub as often as I should have.
This is a conversation I've been having with Jennifer because, you know, eventually we're going to move out of this place.
Yeah.
Probably. I mean... it might slide off the back of the hill in 20 years, so at least then we would have to. But she believes that I'm being a nervous ninny, if you will, for thinking we're not going to get our security deposit back. And I just, in this is just in my experience. Now, granted, here's the thing. She has rented a lot of places as well. It's not like, you know, this is only my experience.
Yeah.
She is a person who has not owned a house either. You know, She's of the opinion that getting your deposit back is something that happens regularly. For me, I don't think it's ever happened. In the first apartment I ever rented, they actually sued me for more than my deposit was.
Really?
They said they charged me extra money.
How much did they charge you?
I was working nights at the time. Like $250 or something like that. Because they were going to have to redo the linoleum.
Was this the...
And I asked them for...
Was this the Virginian?
The Virginian.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I asked them for pictures of it, and they sent me a picture of the linoleum already torn up. Which was crazy.
And you're like, you did that. I didn't do that.
I didn't fight it because I was working nights and I didn't understand how anything worked.
Yeah.
And I honestly don't know if I would fight it again these days, you know? Because, yeah, it's just not, for me, the hassle, the aggravation, I don't know.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good relationship with my property management company here, though.
That's good.
Yeah.
But final thing I'll say about the cleaning is that after cleaning that, cleaning my old apartment, I am keeping my new place freaking spotless.
Hey, good.
Constantly good. Cleaning up after myself. That'll probably die down after a while, but for the time being.
Those of you who have already, listened to the podcast for a while, I know that this isn't the first time that I've done this, but I'm doing it again. I'm going to try to be a shoes off in the house place. We'll see if we can do it or not. Because I did the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
And just walking from the basement across the kitchen, I left dust footprints, and I don't like it.
My new place has no carpet. So that was one of my requirements when looking for an apartment. I did not want carpet at all. So my new place has this like snap together laminate flooring.
Yeah.
It's like this dark oak. It's fake, I'm sure. In fact, it is because it's chipped in one place. You can see what it's made of. But when I was moving stuff around, like after I moved in, I was constantly rearranging and moving furniture and emptying boxes and stuff. And I went for a few hours without wearing my shoes. At one point, I had to put my shoes back on because my feet started hurting.
Oh.
Which is weird. Yeah,
interesting. No cushion.
No cushion. Carpet, it's hard. You know, I was wearing socks, but, when I put my shoes back on, like I had to put my shoes back on to go downstairs because I had ordered food. And when I got back upstairs, I'm like, my feet feel so much better with my shoes on, which is...
I've just come up with something that is sort of brilliant, Ben.
What's that?
A house... I'm sure
made
if
of
you
shoes.
Look online, somebody already has done this, I'm sure. But a house where the floor is actually like grass, like you have a lawn inside your house.
That's a whole
or
other set of problems.
Or maybe it's moss. I think it could work.
Would it be actual grass or would it be fake grass?
It would be, well, here's the thing. I'm not going to say grass, but the idea is that your floor is a combination of soil and vegetation.
Yeah, something that humans evolved to walk on with bare feet.
Yeah. I think that would be nice.
The upkeep
I
would
don't
be,
know if
I mean, that'd be harder to take care of than carpet.
Maybe.
You gotta mow it every once in a while. You get
well,
bugs.
You just have a Roomba, but it's a mower.
Hey, honey,
but
have you seen the cat? I don't know.
No.
I think the Roomba got it.
Oh, God. You got to feed it a steady diet of cats. It's Alf. You just have Alf living there.
I kill me.
George Melmac.
Yeah.
Who's Illinois senator right now? Hold on. Wait.
Dick Durbin?
Wait, how do you know who Illinois senator is? I think that's right.
Is that an Illinois? I just
and Duckworth also.
Oh yeah, Tammy Duckworth.
Yep. Okay, so I did it. Yay! Illinois governor Jesse White, I believe. I want to say. Anyway,
doesn't Illinois have a string of governors that are in prison? Or is
possible?
That Chicago mayors?
You know what? A lot of Illinois politicians are in jail.
Who was the guy?
Blagojevich?
Yeah, Blagojevich. Was he the governor or was he the mayor?
No, he was something else. I forget what exactly. I think he got pardoned.
Did he?
Yeah, I want to say.
I just remember, like, when, you know, he got, removed from office or something. I just remember hearing that it was, like, the previous, like, two people who held his job were also, like, were in legal trouble or were in prison or something. Just it was an impressive streak.
Here's the one thing I know. I used to work in a building that had a no smoking sign on it. And the no smoking sign had Blagojevich's name on it. Because when the law was passed, he was the guy in charge.
Ah.
So that was an old sign and also a long time ago.
Indeed.
Hey, speaking of a long time ago. We started this podcast an hour ago.
An hour and 43 seconds, according to my clock.
Well, there you go. So you know what that means.
It means it's time to keep it wrong.
Hey, and I want you to keep it wrong for the rest of your life, but I'll settle for the next week.
All right.
All right, I'll talk to you later. And Ben, it's always great talking to you.
Yeah, indeed. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, keep it wrong.
Yep, keep it wrong. Bye.